Well, thank you everyone for coming along. It's so good to see so many here to hear the message of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. And as I look out upon all of these faces, I just wonder in my heart, how many will I see with Christ in eternity? I wonder if that's you. And I wonder if you sit here this afternoon, you know in your own heart that that's not you. And we just trust that the gospel message is proclaimed, that you might come to know and trust Him as your own and personal Saviour. I want to read three verses from the Word of God. The first is found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The three verses we're going to read all start with this little word, for. And I trust that will help you remember the verses that we look at. I want to think about the reality of our sin, the consequences for our sin, and the answer for our sin. We're going to see that in the three verses that we read. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Over to chapter 6 of Romans, please. Chapter 6 of Romans, and again, verse 23. It says there, for the wages of sin is death. For the price that has to be paid for sin is death. Over to John, back to John really, chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. The reality of our sin, for all have sinned. The consequences of our sin, the wages of sin is death. The answer to our sin, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. I want to start back in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We read there, for all have sinned. I don't know what you think this afternoon about your own heart. I don't know where you stand in relation to what you think about sin, but the Bible simply tells us that sin is falling short of God's standard. And God's standard is perfect. Is anyone here perfect? Your little children, are you perfect? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen something? Even if it's a little lie, it's falling short of God's standard. In the very beginning, when God created man and woman in the garden, they had a choice. He created them perfect. But He said, there's one thing I don't want you to do. And do you know what they did? They did the one thing God told them not to do. And we know, and we read in our Bibles, that by one man sin entered the world. And now we have a problem of sin, all of us. That verse told us we've all sinned. We all fall short of God's standard because it's perfect. It doesn't matter how bad or how small you think that is or how great you think that is. This is the reality. We fall short. We fall so far short of the standard of God. Just look around. Look into the world in which we live and tell me this is a problem. There's wickedness, immorality, there's wars, there's just evil in this world in which we live, and that is a result of sin right there in the garden. It's all around us. It doesn't take much to see that there is a problem in the world in which we live. And that problem is very simply given to us. We're sinful, and we're all under that sin. You know, as I was thinking about the problem of sin, I just wonder how much of a consequence you think about it is. We live in a world that says, you can sin and get away with it. It's not really that big of a deal. You just tell a lie to get your friend a good job interview, and you just tell a few little things. It's fine. It was sort of greater good. Think about abortion. We live in a culture that seeks to make these things right. Why? Why in Western society do they want to allow babies to be killed? Because they want to commit sin and not have any consequences. This world, the devil wants to dust sin under the carpet and say, don't worry, it's not actually that bad. But can I tell you something? God sees. And God knows. You know, when I was a boy, me and my older brother, we used to fight a lot. And I remember one time we were standing in the garage, and I don't remember exactly what we'd done, I just know there was a fishing rod involved. And I remember Dad coming before us and saying, who did it? And I said, no, it wasn't me, it was my older brother. And he said, no, it wasn't me, it was him. Now I know it was me, most of the time it wasn't. But Dad kept asking, who was it? No, it wasn't me. And then Dad stopped, and I will remember this the rest of my life. And he looked at us, he said, you know what? God knows. God sees, and he walked away and said, sure your sin is fine in your life. I wasn't saved when my dad said this to me. And I remember as a young boy going away thinking, God knows, and God sees. And I felt so heavy that I ran straight to Dad and said, Dad, it was me. I did it. I knew that God knew that I had done a sin. I had told a lie. Listen. There is no dusting under the carpet with sin with God. Sin is wickedness. We heard about Joseph yesterday. And in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph in the Bible, he's faced with this temptation. And you know what Joseph says? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You might think you can hide a sin from someone you did it against. No one ever knows I stole from them. They'll never know I told a lie. God knows, and God sees, and sin must be judged. It has to be. It's wickedness against God. God's standard is perfect, and we will never reach that. Sin will be judged. Do you believe there's a God? You know what the Bible says? And I say this carefully. You're an absolute fool if you don't believe there's a God. Just come, we're in Romans. Just turn to chapter 1 of Romans. I just want to read a few verses here. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says there, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that men, that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. You know why we have this series of evolution, of science, of all of these other things? Because people don't want God, and they don't want to be responsible for their sin. So they come up with all these other ways. There must be something else. They worship the creature rather than the creator. They've exchanged God for idols. We don't want God, they say. They're a fool. Because even last night, as I was sitting out by the fire with some friends, we just looked up into the skies, and they just proclaimed the wondrous works of his hands. The moon is the perfect distance from the earth. It is the exact right place to allow our tides to act. The sun is the perfect distance from the earth so that we're not too cold, we're not too hot. They fly out into all of these, we're hearing 880 billion stars or planets in this galaxy, and they fly all the way out and they look back and there's one little planet, green and blue, perfect fitted for life. And you tell me that on its perfect angle, the perfect environment, that was an accident. That you sitting here tonight can look at your hands. You can think something and say it. You can walk around. You can feel emotion. You have a conscience. And you tell me it's an accident. God created us. And we've fallen short of his standard. You know, we just have to take a moment just to think. Just think in your chair. Just think to yourself, how could it be that all of this happened if there wasn't a God? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, It's impossible. It's impossible that this happens without a God. And you know, we fall short. The reality is, of our sin, is we fall short. We've missed the mark. And the price that has to be paid for sin is death. That's Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. You know, death is not just physical death. The Bible speaks of in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed for man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Sin will be judged. You're not just going to physically die and then nothing. There is eternity, and you're going to have to face it. This is serious. When you come to the Word of God, you know what it tells us? It tells us there's a lake of fire. It tells us there's torment and the wrath of God upon sin. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, this is serious. This is a message that will change your life forever. If you choose to reject Christ, ultimately what lies ahead for you is eternal judgment under the wrath of God. Is that what you want? Do you fear death? Do you fear passing from this world to the next? If it was today, where are you going to be for eternity? Where will you be? Trust me, you know if you have. We come to John chapter 3, verse 16. I'll read another few verses here. You don't have to turn to them, but in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us there that Mary, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. From the very moment that man sinned in the garden, God said, from the seed of the woman, there will come one who will bruise the head of the serpent. God had promised one that would come, the Messiah, the Christ. One was going to come to be able to save his people from their sins. You read through the whole Old Testament, and it speaks of this one in coming. And it tells us all about him who come from the line of Abraham, from the tribe of Judah. He will ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He'll be born in Bethlehem. You come to the New Testament. It was Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey from the line of Abraham, from the tribe of Judah. You know, the Lord Jesus asked his disciples a question. At one point, he said to them, who do you say that I am? Some people were saying it's Elijah. Some people say one of the prophets, maybe John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter, one of the disciples, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, the Son of God, came down as a man into this scene of time, the promised one of God who would save his people from their sins. And do you know where he went? He went to a cruel, wicked cross, where man put him on a piece of wood, and nails through his hands and his feet, they mocked him and spat upon him. A crown of thorns upon his head. And they laughed at him. And they said, crucify him. We don't want him. We've been thinking a lot about these words even this morning. On that cross, the Lord Jesus said, my favorite three words in all of Scripture, it is finished. The price has been paid. God had to judge sin, and he loved us so much that he said, I'm going to send my son, my one and only son, and he's going to hang upon a cross of wood and bear the wrath of sin. And there the Lord Jesus, in 3 hours of darkness, bore the punishment for all sin. And he said, it's done. The price has been paid. But listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, Christ paid the price. God looked upon his Son, the Father, and he said he was satisfied. The wrath of God was satisfied. The Lord Jesus was perfect. And he took that place and said, I love them so much that I will take their place He said the price is paid, but you know, we have to come into and believe that the Lord Jesus died for us. We fall short of God's standard, and you know what? No matter what we do, we will fall short. We cannot do anything, no matter what we think, what works you think you can do, how good you think you are. You might think of someone else, they're terrible. Doesn't matter. We can't get our way to heaven. But Christ stood, and he was willing to do it for you. Dear friend, he took your place. He took the place of sin, so that you, by believing on him, could be set free. You can have a hope, a peace. You don't have to fear what goes on in this world. I tell you, friend, I'm going on to heaven. This world will go about its own ways. It doesn't really bother me, because Christ is coming. And I know that I will be with my Savior forevermore, do you? This world will try to press upon you that God doesn't exist. We don't want God. We want to live the way we want to live. The reality is we're all sinful. We fall short. And there is a consequence that has to be paid for sin. But God so loved us, he was willing to put one in our place, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it. He did it fully. He did it all. Completely done. The work was done. Have you believed it? I was saved. You know, when I was 12 years old, I was at a gospel meeting. I wasn't saved. And I was listening about a lake of fire. Judgment for all eternity. But then I listened about one who died, so I didn't have to go over there. And you know what? In my chair, I didn't even go home. I didn't even want to get out of my chair. You know why? Because I knew that if I had gone out of that chair and I had gone from this world to the next, I was going to the lake of fire. If you don't have Christ, that's where you're going, dear friend. But in my chair, I said, Lord, save me. I'm a sinful man. I deserve death. But I just praise God that he ruined me, his Son. And that my Savior, Jesus Christ, was willing to take my place there at Calvary. And he did it for you too. Just believe. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. You can have a hope where you know the Bible speaks of there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. What can be greater than knowing that your eternity is secured with Christ? You have an opportunity today, in your chair even now, to simply say, Lord, I fall so far short, and I know it. There must be a God. And I fall short of this standard. I've missed the mark. And I don't want to pay the price for sin, but praise God, Christ paid it. And you can be saved today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. I trust that you will consider where your soul will be for all time. Thank you.